Backseat Box Office, episode number 54 for the weekend of September 30th through October 2nd, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office. And if you are listening to this on Friday when it releases, we're going to be at Archon.
Woo! Archon, baby!
And you're probably not at Archon unless you're, like, lame and listening to a podcast while you're at Archon, which would, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Unless you're between panels.
When does this drop?
Friday.
Yeah, but
if like it depends on when it gets edited.
Thursday into Friday.
Yeah, it's Thursday into Friday. If it gets edited timely, which is questionable at this point, considering the amount of prep that still needs to be done for Archon and Sausage Fest and Backseat Producers 200.
But I mean, people could be listening to it as they're coming.
They could be
on their way to Archon.
You could listen on the plane on the way.
I could, but I'm.
You're recording this
now, so I don't know why I'd want to listen to it again. Then.
Andrew could listen on the drive.
Andrew could definitely listen.
He could listen to a couple things on his drive.
This is true.
But only a couple. It's not that far of a drive for him, really.
I actually have, in order to free up some time in the hopes that I could get an internship or a job or something before the semester is up, I'm taking independent study right now for one of my classes, and I record all the classes. And I might be 3 weeks behind on my recordings.
Oops.
And I might not have done any of the readings in the last, like, month and a half. And I might have a midterm on Wednesday after Archon. So my time on the plane is pretty much spoken for.
That is fair. That, yeah, I would hope so at this point.
Yeah, especially considering there's no way I'm going to get any of that done at Archon.
No. No, you were at Archon last year. You know that you're not going to get any of that other stuff done.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be lucky to... Actually, I might have to... I got to figure out what's going on with the scheduling. I might have to behave myself on Friday night.
Ooh.
So the programming finally dropped.
Yes. Yes, it did finally drop.
And I got confirmation before the programming ever dropped that Name That Game was happening. And I got a time and I got a location and all that stuff. And that was great because that at least let me know that I should be prepping for it.
Sure.
Then programming comes out and I'm looking through the programming. I'm like, I remember checking a bunch of boxes, but I don't remember exactly what I checked. And I think Tony said something about BSP 200, and let me so I do like a search for my name. And here's Name That Game. I'm like, okay, good, that's confirmed. Now it's like doubly confirmed that's where like 610 in Ballroom A in the convention center, if anybody is listening to this on the drive to Archon.
Sure.
And then I'm like, there's BSP 200. Great, I'm on that list, even though there was some funkiness there. Fine, whatever, I'm on there. I keep searching for, because it's like it comes up with five names. I'm like, they just searched for Jonathan, and one of them was some random dude. Hit it again. What's a Kaffee Klatch?
You're so you're gonna get together with your fans and have coffee.
Well, as it stands, I believe it's at 11 o'clock. I am signed up for a Kaffee Klatch.
Now, where is that located?
That's a good question. I didn't actually think to...
Porter's Bar.
Because if that's located in the hotel, there's nothing to say that that coffee can't be Irished up some. I'm just saying.
A little hair of the dog. Is
that- And I think it's a fair assessment to state that there might be... more than one flask in our group that will be floating around.
I have to figure out if I'm I have to figure out if I'm checking a bag or not.
Mm.
Because, of course, the TSA has their, you know, no liquids over an ounce or whatever.
Sure, sure.
So that kind of cuts out the whole flask thing. But I have some really good small batch Colorado whiskey.
Oh.
And it's like, I want to bring that. I don't even know, like, I know that you were taking orders for alcohol and that mm-hmm. kind of thing, but for one, I don't even know if it's possible to where, I don't know where they distribute to. Because even like here, because my wife got me a bottle for my birthday, and that brings up the other problem. They're like $50 to $60 bottles of whiskey.
Ooh.
Apparently, even here, like the store that she got it in, they are only allowed to order one bottle at a time.
Wow. That must be good stuff.
I really like it. But if I end up not packing or not checking a bag, because the problem with checking a bag, of course, is that like, it's fine for going there, but I don't expect to come home with anything that needs a full-on suitcase.
Right.
So,
well, you do have some glasses and a couple of extra T-shirts that you will be coming home with.
Yeah, but I still think I could fit that into,
you probably into
just
can.
A carry-on.
You probably can.
Yeah, so I mean,
the glasses are hot, though. Those glasses.
Are they?
Did you see the image that I threw out to Twitter the other day?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, the glasses look beautiful. The T-shirts look fantastic. This is coming together so beautifully. It yes. really is. We've got someone making cookies and candies for us. They're themed, especially for breast cancer awareness. As you can imagine, what might be made into cookies and candies. So I get this text today, and it said, "Got tired of making booby cookies, so I made these instead." And it's this image, and it's 10 cookies. She only made 10 of them. But imagine, if you will, the awareness ribbon as a sugar cookie. All right? So it's like, you know, just a cookie cutter cut out of the awareness ribbon, which, I mean, I think that's – I would imagine you could find this pretty easily. It's just like a cookie cutter. Coming out of that, it's like it's 3D. Thrusting out of the awareness ribbon is something that resembles a sausage. Now, I don't think she actually put sausage on the cookie. She might have. But knowing her, it was she's fashioned something as sausage coming out of the cookies. So we have 10 of these that are going to be coming to Sausage Fest as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing. We're going to get Sam wearing fake boobs at some point.
Yeah, I heard about that. We talked about that in our Archon retrospective that we'll be releasing next Wednesday on the Way of the Game.
That's an Archon retrospective you recorded before Archon.
Shh.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
In which we congratulated all the winners and losers of Name That Game, and we talked about how great BSP 200 and how disappointed everybody was at the Caffey Clatch that I am. It's a Caffey Clatch with M.R. Sellers. It's apparently an author of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Jonathan Holmberg. That's Porter's Bar.
Oh, fantastic. Even better.
11:10.
They've got good scotch there.
I you know, if you want to come by, I will sign stuff for you.
Fantastic.
Sam has threatened to come in and just be like, "Oh, I love your books. You've defined this sort of something." And I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be great because I'm the worst liar in the world."
Should bring in a stack of DVDs to get you to sign. And like, people are like, "Who is that guy?" Oh, it's that guy. Like, do a bunch of get a bunch of movies where there's one character that's like in full costume the whole time, like Freddy Krueger or Mike Myers. It's like, that's that guy. What? Yes, it's him. I'm gonna look on IMDb. don't. They don't use his real name. Why would you do that? Come on. He wants to try and get serious work now. He's not going to put his real name on there. This is the Holmberg. Come on.
It could be we could tie it into BSP 200. I could claim that I'm like the 85th Uruk-hai on the third side of...
Screw that. You're the Witch King. Come on. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right.
I guess so. All
right. If I'm going to lie, I'm going to lie big. All right, so we can't make that same obfuscation because we are recording this before Archon, and it is releasing before Archon, so... we could probably lie about pre-gaming, which I may or may not do. So, how did movies do this weekend? Let's jump straight back in to what we're supposed to be talking about.
Not hooray.
No, because we're not talking about Archon and Sausage Fest, so...
This is true. Well, this this week, yeah,
things happened.
Yeah, things happened. So, on the list, Lion King 3D held on to its number one spot with $21.9 million, down 27.3%, which will be important in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Number two debuted Moneyball at $19.5 million. Unfortunately.
For you. Say, not so much unfortunate for Andrew and I.
This is true. This is true. It was closer than last week.
You know, yeah.
That hurt. But anyway, Dolphin Tale opened at $19.1 million at number three.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob got emo. That would have worked a lot better if the word came out immediately instead of waiting a couple of seconds. So I'm going to pretend that it didn't happen. Jacob came in at number three, the non-werewolf version of the movie.
Number four.
I'm not good at this. This is not good. Andrew, come back.
Hopefully we will see him again in a couple of weeks. He's gotten busy.
I'm going to stop trying to make clever references.
Hey, you know what? To be fair, we can strong arm him this weekend because he's going to be at Archon. So we will see him. No one else in the podcast will hear him except for his voicemail. But because he's going to call in his picks.
Didn't he say that like 2 weeks ago and then he ended up putting in a text pics or something? Or did he actually call?
No, he called him in. He called him in. I added him in.
I might not listen to this show.
Hey, I edit and I don't listen to the show.
It's weird. Like the more podcasts I do, the fewer I listen to. That's true.
Yeah, that happens.
I've heard other people say that. Now it's like, oh.
I've actually started cycling back up and do listen to more podcasts now than I have in a while, but
yeah.
But they're not releasing episodes on a schedule, so it's kind of like listening to our podcast. Though, to be fair, for the most part, Backseat Box Office has been consistent.
Yeah.
Sometimes within the same day. We might not release at the same time of day, but within the right day of the week is generally our MO.
I figure as long as the way the game releases and it's Wednesday somewhere on the planet.
Hey, that's...
Which, that gives me like an extra 5 hours.
That's true. You still have a couple more to go.
I know, and I'm going to need it because I have actual editing.
Yeah, because I want to have something to listen to while I'm running around buying more stuff for Sausage Fest tomorrow. So
it's going to be terrible. Anyway, back to the list. So Lion King at number one, Moneyball at number two, Dolphin Tale at number three, and this is where everything went wrong. At number four, Abduction opened with $10.9 million, and then at number five, Killer Elite opened with $9.3 million, and that put Contagion at number six, dropping it from number two to number six, 41.9% with a gross of $8.4 million.
And we did actually have somebody, have a couple of people pick Drive.
That was at number seven.
They came in at number seven, yep.
5.7 million.
That's as far as we need to go.
Dropped about 50%.
We don't care about anything else.
And thankfully, Straw Dogs is continuing to flounder and do terribly.
Yeah, The Help still only lost 32%, almost 33% of its audience. It's made
like the adult version of Megamind.
It has made $154.4 million to date with a budget of $25
million. Yeah.
By every stretch of the imagination, that movie is a whopping success. Look for The Help 2 coming to theaters soon.
The Help gets even.
If they come out with a prequel or something. Yeah, I was looking at an email that I got from Redbox over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was not aware that they made a sequel to Marley and Me. And you think, how do you make a sequel to a movie where at the end of the first movie, the dog dies? Marley and Me, The Puppy Years.
Nice.
So it's really a midquel.
That's weird.
That's a word.
You're kidding, right?
I've actually heard that used before.
Oh, that makes me hate.
Yeah. Yeah. The, what is it? Beauty and the Beast Christmas? The Disney Beauty and the Beast Christmas movie? That, too, was a midquel. Because it took place during the time that Belle was in the castle. And while Beast was still the Beast, and it because she was there for a long period of time, one of the things they glossed over was the fact that she was there over Christmas, actually.
Hmm.
Yes.
That would explain why they made everybody back into pots and candles and crap.
Yep. All right. So
it's not an interesting story if they're all
just so now that you've successfully avoided the fact that you again have been trumped by Andrew and I.
You know what? No, you two.
So
there's something unnatural going on here.
So last time I came up with this ridiculously convoluted system of how it was possible.
You sound like
I.
a desperate sports fan.
Yeah, it
if
was.
We do this.
It was then this terrible. Happens. It was terrible.
And if the stars align such that they spell out an obscenity in the midnight sky, then we will have another tie.
No. They spelled out Sausage Fest in the midnight sky. Is what happened. The constellation of the awareness ribbon being pierced. Penetrated, if you will, by the sausage. It's out there. Go look.
Let's face it.
That it's right next to Orion.
That's a certain level of obscenity. Obscenely awesome.
It is. Yeah. So the scenario that I constructed was ridiculous and elaborate and was not the scenario that happened that caused Andrew and I to again tie with completely different picks.
So maybe you're not so good with the maths either?
No.
Oh.
My scenario would have caused us to tie. I just
said
didn't
it was
come
the only scenario.
I did not. I don't believe I did. I said this was a scenario. But apparently there was another scenario, and it was the scenario that happened. Because again, we tied. We each got a 22 on the weekend. Our average is now a 23, and we are tied for first place.
Come to Sausage Fest, folks. There will be booze, sausage, and a couple of witches will be burned.
That could happen. To be fair, depending on how these picks go, part of the aftermath of Sausage Fest, the reckoning on Sunday, could just be a tiebreaker. Because by the time most people are leaving, maybe by the time some people are actually on their way home, the estimates will be coming out. So we could find out that this tie may not stand. We'll have to see. Let's see. Maybe Andrew and I are picking the exact same thing again this week, though. But Jonathan, you got a 20.
See, I successfully avoided that for like another 5 minutes.
And your average is 20. Unfortunately for you, there was a number of people that did better than that, and their scores moved up. So you actually went from 10th place to now you're in 11th. You got to get a move on, sir.
That's all right. I won the first season.
That's true. That happened.
Oh, ghosts, anyway.
Well.
And there was a time there. There was a good chunk of time there when I was in third place.
Yes.
So I clawed my way up into first place. I will do it again. There's no drama if I just start at first and stay there. I mean, there's just nothing interesting. Nobody likes the Patriots because that's what they do. And the drama. Yeah,
I'm just I'm just kind of getting sick of sharing my throne with Andrew. I held it for a good long time. I kept it warm for you. It should have been nice and toasty when you finally climbed atop it. But, this shall not stand.
Up there?
Yeah. He shall not pass. Let's put it that way. In preparation for Backseat Producers 200, wherein we will discuss all three Lord of the Ring movies.
I don't think that's going to fit in 2 hours.
Well, I've got a plan. It'll happen.
We have 9 people on the panel.
We won't let Daryl talk.
So you're bringing Holden then, is what you're saying?
No, actually, there will be a firm no one under 21 policy. For the room. Mostly because of 2 specific drink cues. Well, 1, really.
Let me guess, that's the three second poll rule.
There's 2. There's the one where Adam actually shows his ass, and then there's non-host nipples.
Oh yeah.
That's the one I was thinking of initially.
Of course, realistically, I mean, host nipples, Melina is on the panel.
True.
I don't know how likely she is to show her nipples, but, you know, let's not be sexist here.
Considering I've heard what some of her outfits are,
she might not have a choice.
It may happen. She may pull a Nancy Grace.
I don't want that. Wait. I shouldn't be laughing because, Why couldn't you pick anybody else?
Well, did you, you're aware of what happened, right?
No, I don't want to know either.
All right, so Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, God damn it.
She had on an outfit that showed a lot of cleavage, as it were. And she danced. And as they dance, they get rather vigorous with their dancing. And she completed her round of dancing this week. And when they complete their dance, they walk up to the host, Tom Bergeron, and they get confronted by the judges who tell them how they did. Well, they showed, like, if you're watching the show, they show her walk up, and then they show, like, the crowd clapping for a long time. And then they flash back and then flash right away. They flash back to Nancy Grace and her dance partner, then flash immediately away to the crowd clapping again. And then they go back, and Nancy Grace is flushed. Now, if you're just, you know, she's not svelte. She could be winded from dancing. Apparently that was not the case in this instance. She was blushing a bit because there was a nip slip. And when they cut back for that instant and then cut immediately away, if you pause right at the right time, it's there. And it's pretty obvious. Because, you know,
I don't want that. Do not want, sir.
Some are measured in coins. Some are measured in saucers. And so, yeah. They made a comment about something to the effect that if this was the European version of the show, that would have been fine. So it was obvious that it happened. There's no getting around it. And if you look around the interwebs, you can find that if you're interested.
If you are, let me recommend as well iBleach.com.
Or just searching for Jennifer Connelly nude. Turn off Google Image. Google Image Search has the filter. Turn the filter. Just turn it off. Jennifer Connelly nude. Perfect. Take care. It just washes it all away. It makes all the badness go away. All right. So there are new movies coming out this week.
True.
Four of them. Again. Well, there are more than four, but there are four that are technically considered in wide release.
Three that are worth your concern.
Yeah, yeah. So this week we have 50-50 coming out in 2,400 screens. It is a comedy / drama. Mm-hmm. We have Courageous, which is labeled as a drama, coming out in 1,100 screens. Dreamhouse, a thriller, and as of this recording, swear to God, on Box Office Mojo, 2,659 screens, which is really specific.
Oddly specific.
Especially for a movie with that high of a release count. I mean, when you're getting down to the 1,260, yeah, you expect some specificity with those.
Well, and you expect it to, like, on Thursday... Friday when they really release all the numbers.
Right.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen a direct, like, accurate theater count on Wednesday.
Well, to be fair, it might not be accurate.
True.
And then finally we have What's Your Number, which is a comedy releasing in 3,000 screens. So let's start with What's Your Number, since it's the biggest of the wide releases. Do you know what this movie's about? Because I do have a fair understanding of what this film is about.
I actually saw something. I think it was really weird. We went to Sonic for dinner or whatever. We went to Sonic, and they have, I don't know why, but they've put up TVs inside the restaurant portion. Because we have one of those Sonics that has an actual restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah. It turns out it's actually frustrating when you go to certain places that don't have those, because standing in 120-degree Texas heat trying to get, you know, hear anyone while you're standing in a parking... Long story, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They've got TVs in there, and they had the cooking channel on, which was... We walk in, and
that's
Jamie Oliver... Yeah, Jamie Oliver is, like, frying quail. And I walk in and I look at this and I'm like, why the hell am I eating at Sonic when I could be eating Jamie Oliver's fried quail?
No kidding.
This is probably not a good, you know, thing you want to compare it to. But look at the great food they're making on TV. Have our shitty fast food. But whatever. There was a commercial for this, and the only thing I really got from it is something about how many guys have you had sex with, and then that's bad.
Yeah.
And so
is that your understanding of what the movie is about?
Yeah, there's the woman's had sex with a lot of people.
All right, so what this movie is really about, Anna Faris plays this, I don't know the situation in which it comes up, but the situation is there's some study or some expert of some sort says, you've kind of run out of options if you've hit if your number is 20. And number refers to the number of partners you've slept with. And basically the idea being if you go over 20 partners, then your relationship's you're hopeless for getting married and having a lasting relationship. So this group of girls gets together and are comparing numbers. And so one of their marketing tags is, what's your number? Which is interesting. And I think somebody thought it would be a cute way to interact with the audience and a way to get people talking about the movie in that regards. But, you know, if you're dating someone and you're taking them to a comedy, rom-com, and they're like, yeah, what's your number? This is going to spiral very quickly into a horror movie. Because these are things that you don't necessarily need to be talking about.
Yeah.
That early, or really any point in the dating cycle.
Or really in the theater.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So Anna Faris's character realizes that she's had 19 sexual partners.
Oh, crap.
So she's at the magic number. She's at the verge. So the clever twist to this is not that she wants to find the perfect number 20. It's that she's going to go revisit all 19 to see if one of them is the one, so that she can avoid the whole 20 thing. Because if she re-sleeps with guys that she's already slept with, they don't count as a new number. Which,
wow,
that's actually kind of a funny premise. Especially considering it's an Anna Faris comedy. I mean, they are kind of oddball, goofy comedies. Well, and it turns out that you can see from the trailer there's that one guy that keeps trying to get introduced into her life, but she's so focused on trying to reconnect with old boyfriends, she doesn't realize that he's really number 20 and that'll be the one. I mean, you can totally see this from the trailers, which is fine. I don't have a problem with movies that are that predictable. But that seems to be what this film is about, from my understanding. So let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum and talk about
not seeing that.
Courageous. Speaking of movies we're not
to? Speaking this is of, only barely.
Speaking about movies we're not gonna see.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so this movie looks really, really preachy.
Yeah.
And from the trailer, I can tell there is bad acting in this movie.
Yeah. Which, this looks like a Focus on the Family film.
Well, it absolutely is. It almost, I mean, it looks like an after school special kind of movie.
Yeah.
From watching half the trailer, because honestly, that was about all I could stand. One, it looks like it's four men who are friends. I believe they're all police officers. One of them. They're all having their own difficulties in their family life and in their jobs and such. One of them is kind of an absent father because he spends time with work and doing other things and can't relate to his son. And then, shocker, tragedy occurs. And then there is a series of sequences showing four men sitting around a table talking about their feelings. Wow. This is not accurate. I mean, you know, I can see sitting around with my buddies and talking, not at a picnic bench where there's like a family barbecue going on, maybe in a bar when we're all half lit.
Now that doesn't fall into the, you know,
that doesn't fall into the Focus on the Family. And I mean, and there were direct references to faith and God in the trailer. Yeah, and that's fine, but I don't go to movies for that. I go to movies for entertainment. And if the entertainment portion of that includes people of faith and things, that's fine. But I don't, this movie just looks like it's preachy.
Yeah,
it just really does.
They took a we want to make a movie about how to be a proper Christian father, and try to make a movie around that rather than here's an interesting story and we can weave the theme of, you know, faith and fatherhood through the interesting story. So,
right. I mean,
at least from what I haven't even seen the trailer, but I heard half of it. the half that you watched.
Yeah. Godfather 1 through 3 has those subjects of family, faith, loyalty. I mean, it has those subjects. I'm going to make a bet, and I'll go ahead and put $1,000 down right now that the Godfather films are better than this one. I'm going to make that bet. I know it's risky. I know Julie will probably be pissed. $1,000 is a lot of money, but I'm going to make it. I'm that confident. Fortunately, this movie only comes out in 1,100 screens, so I don't think we really have to worry about it all that much.
Yeah, no, not so much.
All right, so next up, Dreamhouse.
This is, I don't like horror movies, or even really suspense thriller movies, because I have a thing about suspense. Like, I don't know, I don't handle adrenaline well. So I'm like, just get done with the scare and go move on with it. You know, I'd rather, I don't mind gore so long as it's not like, I hate the build up to it.
Yeah.
This is a movie that actually looks kind of interesting. It's got a kind of cool premise, I think.
All right. And what is that?
From what I recall of the trailer, a family moves into a house. It's like the perfect house for them, a nuclear family, husband, wife, two daughters. But then the girls start having these weird visions. It starts off looking a bit like a ghost story. There's all of these weird things that are happening. Someone seems to be like stalking the house, that kind of thing. And then they start looking into it, and there's this news story or whatever. The history of the house is that a woman and her two daughters were killed in the house, and the rumor is that the husband is the one that did it. And so it starts off like, okay, so that's a typical kind of horror thing, but then you get the sense that as the dad, William Craig, or Daniel Craig, starts looking into the murders more. It looks like he's the one who might have been the guy that did it, and like his family may already be dead. Mm. There's a weird from what I got from the trailer, because they, I don't know if they're giving away too much here or not, but is that they, like, he just got released from a mental institution and went back to the house, and now it's all empty and torn apart and stuff. So it's kind of an interesting, he doesn't remember it at all.
Given that the title of the movie could be a giveaway to exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
It's a dream house.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I kind of like those stories that are like, things aren't what you think they are, and we're messing with your reality.
Yeah, and if that's the case, that does sound a whole lot more interesting than just a ghost story. All right, so last up,
to contribute to this.
Yeah, last up, 50-50.
I don't know anything about this movie.
So it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he was in Inception. He was on Third Rock from the Sun.
Who's he in those?
He was Tommy in Third Rock from the Sun.
He was the kid in Third Rock.
And he was Leonardo DiCaprio's partner in Inception.
Okay.
He's the one that was on the hotel level that was setting up the elaborate kick on the hotel level.
Okay.
All right, so...
I vaguely know who he is.
Yeah. This is inspired by a true story, which means complete fiction. What's really funny is the description on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'll read the first sentence and see if you can figure out what I'm laughing at. Inspired by a true story, 50-50 is an original story about friendship, love, survival, and finding humor in unlikely places. How is it both inspired by a true story and an original story?
I want to know how it's an original story and it covers the theme of friendship, love, survival, and finding humor in unlikely places.
I know.
And that's the theme of just about every true story ever.
That seems like a story about living.
That sounds more like the most generic story I've ever heard of.
So Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen star as best friends whose lives are changed by a cancer diagnosis in this new comedy directed by Jonathan Levine from a script by Will Reiser. 50-50 is the story of a guy's transformative and, yes, sometimes funny journey into health. Drawing its emotional core from Will Reiser's own experience with cancer and reminding us that friendship and love, no matter what bizarre turns they take, are the greatest healers. That is copyright Summit Entertainment.
So that is that would make three movies I have no interest in, and one I probably won't see because I'd rather have read it as a book.
Yeah. So 50-50 actually it's got an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Yeah.
Which is, granted, that's only 33 reviews, so that's, it's nothing to hang your hat on.
Yeah, but of the their other thing on here is who wants to see it. 90%, like the other ones were not very good.
Right.
And the user ratings on those other ones were in like the 4,000 to 6,000, and this one is in 13,000.
Well, so Dreamhouse is 82% and its user ratings at 7,500. So that's not bad. But
it's
not
bad, but it's still half of.
It also has no reviews yet, which 2 days out, that is not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Even What's Your Number has some reviews out, and it's only got a 30%.
Of course, then again, this is Rotten Tomatoes we're talking about.
That's true. So, really, how much stock can you put in it?
But as I understand it, these are Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen did Superbad. Is that right? I thought I saw that from one of the...
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was not in Superbad.
Oh.
Seth Rogen was, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Wait a minute. No. No, that was Jonah Hill. Damn it, now I can't remember.
Yes. Breaking the podcast again.
So, we've done this terribly for long enough.
Yeah.
Let us make some picks.
Goody.
And you know what? Since I'm not feeling really confident, let's throw it over to Andrew. Oh, wait. Let's throw it over to Andrew's voicemail.
He does come first in the...
Which we hope he sends.
Hey there, backseat box office guys. This is Andrew. I am phoning in my picks this week. You know, Tony and Jonathan might have already mentioned it, but things are a little hectic in my life right now. I'm not going to be around quite as much as I am for the next little bit, but I'll still be competing week in and week out in some form. It's a little up in the air right now. Anyway, let's talk about picks. Let's talk about... Yeah, I'm tempted, honestly, just take my mulligan. I mean, Jesus. Got four new movies. Well, three that count. And, you know, and by my computations, everything's going to be within about 3 million of each other in the top five. I think from number one to number five, the spread's going to be 3 to 4 million between them. So how do you pick amongst that? It's insane. So, I'm going to talk it out. You know, I was staring at my numbers for a long time, and what usually helps me when I can't come to decisions to just talk it out on a... usually with Jonathan and Tony, but this week, I'm all by myself. So, at number one, I keep going between What's Your Number and Lion King. You know, it's a new Anna Faris movie. House Bunny opened around 14 million. Lion King is going to drop some. I'm worried Lion King's actually going to drop a lot because everyone went to go see it the first 2 weeks, not expecting it to stay out. So I'm actually worried Lion King's going to take a big drop. But on the other hand, I'm also worried about What's Your Number, Dylan dogging me. So, I think I'm going to go with Lion King at number one. I'm going to put What's Your Number at number two. Number three, I'm going to put 50-50. You know, Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's good stuff. Number four. So at four and five, I'm looking at Dolphin, Tail, and Moneyball. You know, they kind of flip-flop between the estimates and the actuals this past weekend. Dolphin Tail's a kid's movie. Moneyball might drop a little faster. I think I'm going to go with Dolphin Tail number 4, Moneyball number 5. I really hope Jonathan Tony have had as a... I'd call it fun, but it's more like torment. I hope they've been tormented as much as I have with this week's picks and are just really suffering. And, hey, see you guys at Archon.
In the, you know, naming convention.
Hey. Unless you go by Anthony. Even Anthony. Then he comes first.
Yeah, even then he comes first. Because, yeah, well, we could do alphabetical by last name, and then it would be you.
Yeah, but wait. I am not in first place. So.
That's true.
However right. You cut it, I get to wait to hear what you pick. Oh, we should mention, too, that all of that talk that we did last week about how don't pick Lion King this week, don't pick Lion King this week. It's not we're going to punish you and laugh at you and mock. Oh, it got extended.
Yeah, it got extended because, hey, who knew a movie in re-release can make a butt ton of money?
Yeah, so it's made $70 million, something like that, and has been number 1 2 weeks in a row.
It's,
can't imagine why they decided to extend the
It's theatrical. Crazy. I was looking at Box Office Mojo has those little comparisons where they compare similar movies and similar releases. So Toy Story 1 and 2 was re-released in 3D ahead of the Toy Story 3 3D release. Mm-hmm. Those should be comparable. Toy Story newly in 3D and Lion King newly in 3D should be comparable.
Yeah.
The difference between the dollar amounts in those two movies, 20 some million to like 65 million over the first 11 days. It was just night and day how much more money The Lion King had made.
Yeah, just insane.
And realistically, though, you're also talking about a movie that's almost 20 years old versus a movie that was only 10 years old. So a lot of people had a chance in fairly recent memory to see Toy Story on the big screen. It's been a long time since anybody's seen Lion King on the big screen.
True. Do Pixar movies get chucked in the vault? Or is that only Disney animated?
That is a good question.
Because that might also into it.
Yeah, I don't remember if they do or not. I know at one point they did not, but they might at this point. Because I can't tell you the last time I saw something like Bug's Life, or some of those other earlier Pixar movies, Monsters Inc. Which, actually, I think that one did just come out in Blu-ray. I think they're, instead of vaulting them, they're doing major Blu-ray releases to kind of re-bolster sales for some of those. Now, I guess that means that I need to pick, to make some picks here.
Yep, that'd be a good idea.
That's crappy.
Do Pixar movies go into the vault? No.
I didn't think so. Because they're just distributed by Disney. Even though, well, they were just distributed by Disney. Now they're wholly owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are they now?
I believe they are.
Huh.
The way Marvel is.
Disney's live-action films, Pixar films, and films released by Disney's other film division labels, Touchstone, Hollywood Pictures, Miramax Films, and Dimension Films, are not held to this rule, generally only being discontinued when a newer edition is released.
Sure. And that makes sense. I'm I happen to actually go back to like the dollar amounts of some of the last week's movies because yeah, so
but does that even help? I mean,
all right, so because this is kind of an odd week, because again, Lion King is still in there.
I'm halfway tempted to use my mulligan.
That would be fair. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm not going to go that route. I'm just going to talk mulligan. It out. I'm going to talk it out. All right. So courageous
mulligan and just be like, yeah, Andrew, we pick perfect. Yeah. You were going to rue the day you went up against us on this pick. So, oh, yes. Then the episode comes out. You guys didn't pick. It's mean.
We'd have some splaining to do at Archon. All right, so I'm going to just cross Courageous off my list because I just can't see that that's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I call that a good idea.
I'm also going to say that Abduction and Killer Elite are low enough down that when they take their 25 to 40, 60% drop,
yeah,
they're gonna fall into that $6 million range.
You know? And you got to figure that, I mean, Dreamhouse and what's your number at 50-50, you've got to be able to make better than $6 to $8 million.
Right. So I think that's fair. And the thing is can any of these movies come up to that, really, that 15 million dollar range that, quite frankly, I think Lion King and Moneyball are still probably going to be fairly close to.
Yeah. And I don't know what Lion... My problem is I have a clue what Lion King is going to do. Is it going to do poorly because people were expecting it to be out of theaters?
Right, people rushed out to see it in the first 2 weeks thinking it was going to be gone. Or
is there going to be a big media push that, oh, it's still in theaters and now you thought you had missed it, but now is really your chance?
Right, so I'm just gonna bite the bullet. I'm going to call Lion King at number one. It hasn't done me wrong yet. I'm going to say it's going to be number one. Moneyball at number two. I just think it's still got enough going for it. You know what? I'm not going to put Moneyball at number two. I take that back. I am going to put Dolphin Tale at number two. I think that this movie surprised people, and it did. I mean, God knows it surprised me. I didn't have it on my top five list at all. It came in third. So I'm gonna call it number two, because 19.5 and 19.1, those numbers are really, really close.
Yeah.
And I think most people who are interested in baseball this weekend are going to be watching playoff games and not watching movies.
Yeah. Well,
so I mean,
you're going to have entire markets like, say, Colorado, who haven't had a chance to be in the playoffs ever.
Right.
At least this season.
And then markets like St. Louis, which I haven't checked the score of the Atlanta-Philadelphia game, so I don't know if the Cardinals are a lock for the wild card or if they have to play the wild card game tomorrow. So I've got Lion King at number one, Dolphin Tale at number two, Moneyball at number three. That leaves the three new movies to come in at fourth and fifth. I'm just going to call them how I think they might do. I think maybe What's Your Number? I think they're throwing it in more theaters, just hoping more people will go. I don't know it's going to necessarily get the money that the other ones are. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe 50-50 has enough star power behind it, and it looks like it's kind of one of those nice kind of stories. And if Rotten Tomatoes is any indication, the critical review may really help it as well. So I'm going to say 50-50 in fourth and Dreamhouse in fifth. So hemming and hawing my way through that again, Lion King at number one, Dolphin Tale at number two, Moneyball at number three, 50-50 in fourth place, and Dreamhouse in fifth. Now that I've done the work for you, Jonathan, what do you have?
I don't have a damn thing. I was writing stuff down, and then I was like, Wait a minute.
Mulligan.
No, wait, that doesn't... No, I haven't mulliganed yet, so I shouldn't start to... I've mulliganed plenty of my classes this semester, and mulligan this too. Yesterday I had a midterm. I'm like, I'm not going to my morning class. Screw that.
Boy. Philadelphia beat Atlanta in the 13th inning. That means the Cardinals are in the wild card slot for National League.
Oh, crap. And see, just because, you look at Rotten Tomatoes, and it's like 50-50 has a really good buzz. People are really kind of hyping that. But at the same time, it's releasing in so few theaters.
Yeah, but look at The Help.
I've sucked so bad lately. I want to stop sucking. And watch. If I just ditto your list, crash. You and I are going to go through the floor just because I decided to
take. Don't you ruin my picks, Jonathan. I'm like,
it's tempting.
I am going to take away your beer.
It is tempting.
I'm going to make you drink Bud Light this weekend.
Oh, come on. There are delivery alcohol liquor stores in Fort Collins. There's got to be a delivery liquor store in St. Louis. I'll find one. I'll walk. Crap. I don't know. I don't want to do this anymore. I hate this. Is, all right.
What's your number, Jonathan?
So is that supposed to be people you slept with or just people you dated?
Slept with, I believe.
Oh, okay. I'm not telling you my number. All right, let's see. I don't know. It's hard. Where are my cards? All right, screw this. This worked once before.
Oh no.
Not prepped for it though. All right, we're going to roll a die here. Let's see. I have a D20. So, 1, 6 and 11 and 16. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do this even. Shit. All right, so I think that in my top five, I think the top five will consist of Lion King, 50-50, Moneyball, Dolphin Tale, and Dream House. I don't...
So that's the same top five that I've got.
Yes. But I don't know how to order them.
All right, so here's what you do. Lion King.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Roll a die. What do you got? I'll keep track. I've got the list here.
Yeah. So, all right.
So start with Lion King.
Lion King. Lion King is going to come in number four. I am dead. I am now dead.
No. Terrible. Roll your D20. Here's what you do. Okay. Roll your D20. What's the number for Lion King?
Four.
That's the number you rolled?
That's the number I rolled.
Wow. Okay. What'd you roll for Dolphin Tale?
All right. 19.
Moneyball.
12.
50-50.
12.
Dream House.
7.
So roll for Moneyball again.
This is going to be bad. There's no way this can end well. All right, Moneyball is 11.
And 50-50 again?
And 50-50 again is 4.
Well, okay, so your picks are Dolphin Tale at number 1, Moneyball at number 2, 50-50 at number 3, Dreamhouse at number 4, and Lion King at number 5.
Now I'm reversing that. I'm going from lowest to highest.
All right, so Lion King.
At least my initial plan was to be like 1 through 5, and then that's why I was. So Lion King at number 1.
Lion King at number 1.
50-50 at number
2. No. Dreamhouse at number 2.
Dreamhouse at number 2.
50-50 at number 3.
Sorry, I'm okay with that. 50-50 at number 3.
Moneyball at number 4.
Moneyball at number 4.
And Dolphin Tale at number 5. Which is as valid as any set of picks, really.
All right,
I am
Seth,
going to kick you. I am going to kick you in the nards if this beats me this week.
That's all right. I ought to be safely on a plane before you have the opportunity.
Unless we get the Friday estimates on Saturday afternoon, I will tee up during Backseat Producers 200. I will have Andrew stand behind you holding you. Well, maybe Andrew and Sam and Luke.
Well, that takes care of one of my hands.
Yeah. And then I'm just going to tee up and give you the nutshot to end all nutshots. Backseat Producers 200 will end up on Web Soup.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
All right, so that just happened. I wonder how Andrew is going to pick. For the record, anybody who's still listening, which, man, you guys have some serious fortitude.
Yeah, that's some stamina right there.
Yeah, so if you're still listening, don't forget that we do have a voicemail line, and you can call in and leave voicemail with your picks. In fact, you could probably pick the same way Jonathan did and roll dice. We'll play it. I have no shame. We only have 2 voicemails the last 2 weeks. Come on. Art and Tad are getting lonely. In fact, one of them, maybe it was Tad, even called you guys out, saying, come on, leave some voicemail. So I guess technically this week we'll have, if Art and Tad still follow through, we'll also have Andrew leave voicemail.
This is true.
But come on, let's have some more of them. That's all I got. If you want to donate to Sausage Fest, even though it is mostly going to be over by this time, there are donation links on Backseat Producers' webpage. The Indiegogo campaign will be over by the time this releases. If you're listening to this, you know, over the weekend or even next week, and you decide I meant to donate to Sausage Fest, you still can. Sausage Fest is a date, is an event, but it's also a season. The whole month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
It's really a state of mind.
Well, yeah. I will be collecting donations through the month of October. I will not send in my big pool of donations until the end of the month. So if you decide that you do still want to donate, if you just forgot or maybe had to wait for, you know, alimony check or, you know, the VIG to come in on your the money that you lend out to your, you know, your cousin. That's fine. We've got time. Just let me know. You can donate right through the Backseat Producers website. There's a donate link. It's for the PayPal account, which that's where the money all went anyway. If you still donate at one of those perk levels, just let me know if you want a t-shirt or an ale glass. I did order some extras. Not sure how many there's going to be after Sausage Fest, because if people give big donations during Sausage Fest, probably going to be handing out some of that stuff. But I can always order more. I can always get more, especially if you want to donate a lot of money. I can get plenty more. I really am shameless. But, I mean, come on. It's for the boobs. So, I am ready for Sausage Fest in Archon. At this point, right now, where I am, where I sit, it is 1:17 a.m. Thursday. That means Archon is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Booyah.
This is true.
I'm done talking.
Well, you know, it's your own fault for having Sam on your podcast.
Yeah, I know. Well, that is all. We will see you next time. And Jonathan, I will see you, in about
36 hours.
36-ish hours. Yeah, you'll be landing in St. Louis in about 36 hours.
Yeah, 38, so, I guess, technically. Well, no.
No.
You're 37. 36 and a half.
36 and a half. 36 and a half from now. 36:20. If we're going to be really precise.
But if you want to, 36:10. 36:20.